All right, let's start the week off. Kiprios, Justin Bourne, in for our traveling Sammy Disco Dan Franceschi.
Yele, what's up, brother?
Fellas, I am doing good.
What's great going to be on? Here.
All's well. All's well. I'm grateful to be in this seat filling in for Sammy while he's enjoying Detroit, Michigan.
Is it true that you paid completely Sammy's weekend from Oshawa Junior A Hockey Friday?
Just to get him out of here.
The Leafs game, Detroit, and then the Bills game Sunday. So you can get this seat on Monday. Is that true?
No, let me tell you why that's false, Kipper. Because if it was me and I had disposable income of that nature, I'd be the one going to the Lions-Bills game as a Bills fan to go sit there and watch Josh Allen carve up the lines. That would have been my choice.
But you're a Bills guy. But if you keep doing the prep work for a show this good, you may be getting Sam's money anyway soon.
What a lineup.
Holy smokes.
What? Wow.
Sam hates it. I love it.
Yeah, I know he does. I know it irks him. I know.
Sammy, if you're on your way on the 401, keep going. Keep going. Go.
Carry on to
keep
wherever
going.
You're
Go
headed.
All the way to Cornwall, buddy. We're good. We're good here.
We miss you, pal.
The rest is in place, including Derek Brandeau and Frank the Tank. He's in as well.
Awesome.
So we're off and running here on this Monday as we take it towards a Christmas break. And I don't know if you guys were watching the games closely enough to say, okay, it's not the best hockey in the world that we're seeing out of the Leafs.
No.
For Friday and Sunday. Is it
what? Saturday.
Back to back. And just maybe all these games back to backs are kind of catching up with them. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to get into the specifics of what we saw in Detroit and then back home against the Buffalo Sabres on a rare 5 o'clock start. But I'm watching this hockey and it's not compelling hockey, and it might have a lot to do with all these crammed games.
Yeah, I've said this before in the past week or two, but like the lull in the Leafs play seems to be coinciding with bad opponents. So you're getting a combination of still getting points in games where they don't play great, but also some of the games are pretty rough. You know, Sammy was at that Detroit game. I mean, at least the Buffalo game, there was goals and a comeback, and Tavares hat trick. The Detroit game, that was a tough slog, I'll be honest.
I would also say it's a product, and you alluded to a Kipper, but four back-to-backs in the span of 22 days,
mm-hmm.
all engulfed around a Christmas holiday break.
Yeah.
There's a trade freeze mixed in there. Like, that's tough. That's tough, especially after they had a stretch of 2 weeks where they only played four games.
Yeah.
It's to be expected, I would imagine.
Well, I've done enough of these Christmas breaks where it's like one eye on the puck, the other one on flights home and gifts and who's coming in, who's leaving, when do they come in, what's going on.
And it's like, all right, honey, I got to go to the games. I got to be at the game. I got to go.
It does happen. It does happen, but we won't completely take them off the hook either because there's some things that you liked and some things that you didn't this past weekend.
Obviously, first weekend without Anthony Stolarz of the year. He'll be getting the start in Buffalo. We can get to the Buffalo game specifically. Any greater takeaways for you from the two games that stood out? I know it felt like the offense was once again kind of not there against Detroit, but they did end up putting up four in an empty net of the Buffalo game, so...
Yeah, I think you got to take that game against Buffalo with a grain of salt, too, because if they're not the worst team in the league, they are really close.
10 straight games without a win for the
and
Sabres.
I know Detroit has battled consistency,
mm-hmm.
but
that's nice.
That's just a better team than Buffalo, is it not?
It's a better team than Buffalo. It's still a bad team.
Yeah.
The ceiling for the Red Wings is like, what they are, basically? Like, what? Where are they going to get better? I don't know.
I mean, the Leafs lost to a goalie, Ville Husso. They hadn't won a game in a year.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a calendar year. Last December, he picks up a win on Saturday. And then yesterday, it's Devin Levi in the net, who had just been recalled.
Yeah.
So, again, I mean, yeah, the offense was nice yesterday, but at the same time, looking between the pipes and realizing, A, who's in goal and the team they're playing against, you know, at times leaves a little bit to be desired, that's for sure.
Yeah, expected a little more, and then even against Anaheim, not a great defensive team. They haven't, but I don't know. There are pieces of this that feel like it's coming together. McMahon coming back changes their look for me. They get that depth going and have had a depth line with Domi. and Robertson too in against Buffalo. So anyway.
In about 30 minutes, we're going to welcome in Gord Stellick, who's been a regular contributor here, does a terrific job. So we'll look forward to that. And Jason York at the top of the hour as well. We'll talk a little Ottawa Senators. They're hot. Rangers are not.
Is that the team? Such a disaster.
Is that the team that takes a wild card spot away from them?
I don't know if the Rangers are ever going to win again. They're such a mess, Kip. Like, Arthur Staple, their beat writer, is tweeting about, like, I don't know who's gone next, but someone got to go.
Well, wherever you are watching and listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. We're glad you're aboard as we get into the Leafs and Buffalo last night. Let's go to our first Kippers Clipper of the week, Craig Berube, on his overview of the Leaf performance.
You know, we had good intentions in the first period. Take a penalty. I mean, first shift. When we get behind, but you know, I thought after first 7 minutes, I thought we started to take over, and I thought we started to really get going. Guys battled hard. I mean, we got all lines. I thought everybody was solid tonight, worked hard, competed hard, did a lot of good things, stayed with it. You know, and it was a great third period. When you got a lead by one goal and you go out there and just check and don't give them much, and we had opportunities, couple power play or two power plays. And, so it was really good. I thought our leaders stepped up and really did a good job tonight.
When that first, Jack, was it Quinn, shot the first one in?
Yep.
Followed by Tuck shooting it in short side. The Quinn one stunk. Like, yeah, it stunk. Just a clean wrist shot from
and,
the...
And we are not used to seeing just stunk goals.
Genuinely jarring. Genuinely, like, did it get tipped or, like, what? Did it... He just shot it in? Like, the processing of, wait, he just shot it in. That was shocking. So 3 minutes into the game, were you having a moment? Were you catastrophizing the season like I was at that point? I was like, this is disastrous.
The only thing that's kind of played into thinking that this wasn't going to be one of those nights is that they haven't had one of those nights.
What's that, where they just get blown out?
Yeah. Or they're just, it's like everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Are they due for one? But I just don't know the way they play, and they clog up and they don't give much every third period. It's hard for teams to get to the net.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'll eventually turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was okay with that, but yeah, it's noticeable when those goals go in that you go, I haven't seen those all year.
No. And my thought process was just like, okay, if Hildeby is Kaskasuo and we can't trust putting him in and he can't go in, what do you do then? You know, can you lean on Wall heavy? And what if the workload gets to him and he's hurt? And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, Hildeby's given up 3 goals on like 30 shots and was pretty solid. Ended up being all right, but that was a pretty rocky start there.
It makes you appreciate good goaltending.
It sure does.
That's what it does. It makes you appreciate the fact that in every Anthony Stolarz start, you haven't seen one like really bad egregious goal.
No.
And that was a staple for the Leafs. It was always like guaranteed one or two every so often that look really, really bad.
Yeah.
And then it puts you behind the eight ball. But that was a reminder of what you lost with Stolarz not being available, you know, Joseph Wall being in the position he's in and now playing all these back-to-backs. You need somebody else. Hildeby isn't the guy right now. Heck, who knows what's going on with Matt Murray and if he's going to be healthy at some point over the next month, because he just got hurt a week ago, but that's where you're at. You're searching for stability right now.
But also, the goalie took a shot at the empty net.
That was fun. Yeah, that was great.
Kip, before were
they just down a goal at that point?
It was just 4-3.
It was just 4-3.
But, I mean, it looked like a pretty good spot. What was your reaction to that?
Well, first of all,
I think it was
a guy like that would have spent his whole life thinking about that. Like, I don't know what year exactly Ron Hextall did it for the first time, shooting a puck into the net. But since then, I imagine that every goalie that first put on pads mm-hmm. that is lucky enough to get to the NHL level would somehow, some way, constantly be thinking about that or quietly working on that.
Yeah.
From the day he started.
It's the Michigan. Everyone wants to hit it if they can.
20, over, well over 20 years that a goalie has now visualized himself doing that. Yeah. And to your point, the puck came to Hildeby. It was the perfect storm. He had time to turn, set.
Get his shoulders down ice. And if you shoot it good like he did, that it's just a clear, and that's fine. But if you fan on it.
Think about, like, if you put on pads at 7 to, like, last night, how many times he would have done that
tried
in practice.
That yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands. So I think it's a natural now feel for goalies to try that. There wouldn't be nerves involved. It would just be strictly repetition.
But his career is in his hand at that point. If he shoots for an empty net, this is his third NHL game, and he whiffs on it and trickles in front, and Alex Tuck shoots it in, and like, you know, he's already given up a couple of, you know, you may not see him again.
I don't know.
Or he gets knocked down at the blue line or something. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I get your point, but
there's some risk involved.
I didn't see a ton of pressure around him.
And it is game 30 in December. Anyway, let's get Craig Berube.
We are in the forgiving world, too, by the way. We could have had a good chuckle on it and moved on.
Yeah, it's probably true. Let's clip 8. We'll hear Berube's thoughts.
Your goalie tried to score, and they had to feel a bit of
I thought it was a good play. Guys were taking the outlets out on him, coming down the wall. Smart play. Fired it down the ice. I'm okay with that.
What did you think of his game, the way he rebounded?
Well, he settled in after the first two, I thought. He thought he made a couple key saves in the third period, which were important. I thought he handled the puck well. Would he want that power play goal back? Probably. But, you know, he was pretty good for us tonight.
You know, I kind of feel like beating the Sabres 4-3, call it 4-3 before the empty netter, is a little bit like Canada beating Latvia 2-1 in the Olympics, where it's like they won, but it's not supposed to look like that. But still, they did get the win, so can't complain too much. John Tavares, hat trick.
Yeah.
You know, thought he played well, and you know, he could have had more than that.
I thought his energy was terrific.
Yeah. He's at his best. When he beats someone one-on-one, you're like, okay, he's got his legs tonight. He's engaged. He was pretty good.
Yeah. I think the year that he's having is, in all honesty, a statement year.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that guys that are in their last year of their deal find different ways to be motivated. And he, on top of that, he had his captaincy taken away from him.
Yeah.
Those are heavy things. Those are big, big motivators for him to come back and say, hey, screw you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going anywhere.
I got 15 by Christmas. He's got another 50 games to get another 15 and hit the 30 goal mark. Pretty good year.
Like, he's showing a lot of juice right now. So keep going.
Do you think?
I don't know where it's going to end up for him and what it's going to look like, particularly on this team. But right now, the production's there, and that's his bread and butter. At the end of the day, he's got to get his points. He's got to produce.
They need him to score, for sure. And then what's interesting is they flipped Nylander up on the top line. So we saw Nylander, Matthews, Marner for an extended period, which we almost never see. But all of a sudden, that second line of Tavares, Pacioretty, Knies is heavy.
Yeah.
I know it's not fast.
No, it's not fast. And if you can play in front of the net, if you can crash, if you can work the walls, it's in your wheelhouse. If you start going north-south a little bit, it might get a little tricky. You saw what happened on Buffalo's third goal where they got to skate 1,000 miles in the neutral zone to try to catch somebody. That's what you kind of want to avoid with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to know how sustainable it is, you know, come playoffs. You're looking for options that are sustainable. If you have that line and can load up that top one, they all like to shoot. They all like to get to the blue paint. Are they redundant on the same line, or are they just a handful? I think against certain opponents it might work. I don't think it works against the Devils or something.
So what you're saying is go find your Latvia, and you can score, and you can look good, but we're not sure it'll work against top teams.
Perfect. Yeah, what I'm saying.
What I like about that trio together, and they're three worker bees on the same line. Like, they're all going to go grind. They're going to do exactly what the coach wants them to do. Stylistically, I mean, hand up, admittedly, if we said coming into the season, John Tavares might be perhaps the best forward to acclimate to the Craig Berube system.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, I don't know if I envisioned that, but truthfully, he is. He's literally been that guy.
I had that same thought driving in today. I was like, man, it works with Berube and him.
It's unbelievable. All the work he does
but
in front of the net. Yes, go ahead.
You know, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, all the work in the dirty areas in front of the net, just getting your butt down in front of the goaltender, playing behind the goal, below the goal line. Like, he's found that niche, and it works really well under Craig Berube.
It does. Until you go through those small pockets where there's no where the stars are a little cooled off and there's no secondary scoring, and then we go, Berube's a little too simple, this system. Maybe, you know, what's going on? He's got to free these guys up a little bit. And, you know, all of a sudden there's a fine line
long
there.
Long stretches of no offense at 5-on-5 for Tavares.
And we've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
Why don't we...
He's either really hot, it seems, or...
He's a bunches guy. He definitely scores in bunches. We do have Berube on his hat trick in season clip 6.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this guy's got a heavy stick, smart, competitive. I mean, and he works at his game constantly, even at this age, and he's still doing a great job. You know, it's great to see him. He's been excellent for us all year.
We actually have 3 Tavares clips as well there. Not sure if any of those... Why don't we listen to Berube talking about flipping knives and Nylander first? Yep. We'll do clip 2 here, and then we'll hear from John.
I thought in my head that if I could get Tavares with knives and Pacioretty out there at times against the Thompson line, you know, it's a big line, heavy line. So that was my thought a little bit, and not so much use Matthews against the rest of the game. We were down, so... Wanted to kind of loosen those guys up a little bit and give them some different looks. That was kind of like my thought process on it, and it worked out.
That was a Sheldon Keefe-esque thoughtful response on his thought process.
I know.
Yeah.
And interesting.
The key was that he was down when he did it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I got to...
Chasing it here.
Come on. Yeah. I've got $50 million in 4 guys, and I'm down to this team right now. Yeah. So he just... I think he muscled right up with Matthews, Nylander, and Marner.
And suddenly you get your good players and you go, go do the thing.
Yes.
Go do the, And
go do the scoring thing.
Those guys together this year have been, and this is going to shock you, elite, elite, elite. Like, they've controlled 66% of the expected goals on the ice together. Shots are 49-19 when they're on the ice. They're amazing when they're on the ice together. So,
okay, the other aspect is Max Domi.
Mm-hmm.
Shut some people up, I think, last night a little bit.
He had a really good night.
He did have a good night.
I do think that having Bobby McMahon back totally changes their ability to get depth scoring. The third line is so much better, causes the turnover on a Greenway pass. But Robertson, last year, do you remember how often he would score post-scratch? J.D. Bunkus was calling him Scratch and Score was his nickname. He was scratched 4 games before this goal. So they get
that's
him back
pretty,
in.
That's pretty good.
That's creative, J.D. Yeah. Well done.
And he should get his own show if he's doing stuff like that.
We do have a clip from Berube talking on Domi and Robertson.
They played excellent. I thought that they were way more engaged with their physical play and hounding and puck battles and things like that. And they did a real good job. That line was excellent tonight for us, and we needed them to be.
And we'll take that right into clip 5 on Domi breaking through, please.
It feels good, trust me. I mean, he's not happy that he hasn't produced or scored. And we need him to, but we need him to play that style of game that he played tonight. You know, that's the difference for me. Way more engaged.
Hey, third line, you want to win Stanley Cups?
Need a good one.
They're the game breaker. They're the game changers.
Is there anything for you where he seems to have these nights where he's at center, like just being able to skate a little bit more? He's not going to get to play with as good players if he's there, but he does seem to get his feet moving better. Anything to that for you or not?
Do I prefer him in the middle? I don't know if it really matters to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very versatile. I do. I think he can play both sides. I think it just depends on who he's with and how it's kind of bouncing for him. You saw that play right at the blue paint where the puck just had a horrible bounce on him.
Yeah.
Where it's an easy shovel in for another goal for him.
Yeah.
But I think it's just pockets and windows for him. And I think he's that guy that you don't necessarily set anywhere up. You just kind of move him around a little bit when it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've told you before.
You want to see him back with Matthews at a certain point?
You know, I have a tough time with Domi, not because I don't like the player, but because I struggle to see, you know, how is this going to work long term? I would like to see him have an extended run with Matthews and Marner and see if this is something that they can create sustainable chemistry and something that they can actually use in playoffs. That would be great. He can think it like the elite players. He had 47 points last year. Like, he's good offensively. Like,
he was good in the playoffs with those guys.
Yeah,
he was good playing up there.
A consistent third line for him would work. If he can find a way to get 12, 14 minutes, if he can see a little bit of power play time,
yeah,
I think that's the wheelhouse for a successful push in
but
spring.
But he needs players too, though, right? Like, he can't be out there with Pontus and Minton.
I know.
It's not working.
But that's where you go get your third centerman.
Yeah. So that's if you do that and play, you know, McMahon and Domi with, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, or I'm just saying names now, Brock Nelson. You know, like, all of a sudden you love that line. But I don't want him to be...
It's coming, though. I think it's coming.
Do you think he needs to be a shoot-first kind of guy?
Does he need to think shooting? We can't have him say it's coming and then move on.
Okay.
I heard some things.
They're going to go get a centerman.
Like a really good one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they will.
You're confident in that?
Yeah, I am.
Like as good as that sort of level of guy, you think? Yeah.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. That would change things in a big way for this team.
Yeah, I don't know when it's going to happen. It may have to wait it out. You may have to wait it out in March, but... Mm. I think their preference is to get it done earlier and not wait.
You know, there's the trade freeze right over the holidays, but it would be really nice. I say this a lot. I don't love teams waiting till March 5th to make these sort of moves. Like, it takes a while for guys to get acclimated and get comfortable with their lines and the Toronto lifestyle. You got to move into an apartment, and I would love to see them do that earlier. Here's to hoping it happens.
You know, as far as, I guess, to your point, measuring it against the Buffalo Sabres, and we'll get into more specifics on where they go from here, Buffalo maybe in our national hour, but, like, I'm watching that blue line. Mm-hmm. And
Buffalo's blue line?
Yeah, Buffalo's blue line.
Okay.
Like, maybe Owen Power should be in Rochester right now.
Oh, my goodness. What did you just say?
Like... He needs to learn how to kind of play in his own zone at the pro level.
Is this third year? Yeah, he's.
Is it his third year?
I thought he struggled.
This is his.
He had a game last week where he was exposed badly. I forget who they were playing. They were at home.
There's been a lot of games like that.
Tons of them. But you're right, Kipper. There's a lot of games
like that.
Getting lost in his own zone.
I'm watching this team and I'm like, this is what can happen if you aren't 100% sure stroking these $50 and $60 million contracts.
What is Matias Samuelsson getting paid for? Is that his name? They gave him a monster deal, like 5 years plus.
I think it was longer than that. It was a massive extension. Yep.
Oh my God. Like, he is under contract until
it's a mad
seven
scramble
years,
back there.
30 million. What 7 years.
And can I tell you,
it's Pierre Engvall of defense.
Devon Levi. Like, the guy is doing everything to keep it within one goal. Mm. You think one Sabre could go pat him on the pad after a couple of big saves?
Oh, you didn't see that, eh?
Zero. Mm. Zero. Like, what is going on with that team?
I mean, they're without Rasmus Dahlin. Dahlin is back practicing. They're going to get their captain and best defenseman back. So anyone looks worse without their best D.
But
how about Bowen Byram? His name's in every trade rumor I've ever heard now.
He struggled, too.
Yes, he did.
He struggled.
Yes. Tavares made him look like John Tavares was McDavid.
I don't know if they were... I think they were up 2-0. And then you see that Paterka?
Yeah.
Yep.
On his ass, and he takes the one-handed slashing penalty. Mm-hmm. But if I'm behind the bench and my team's up 2-0 and I see that selfish, stupid, I'm going to get back to you with this tap, and it's not a, like, if you're going to put us down, break his ankle, right? Like, make it worth it. But to take that stupid penalty when we're up 2-0, like, that guy doesn't see 1 second after that penalty.
You know, I think it's tough when a lot of the guys you draft don't have that, like Tage Thompson is kind of, he's super talented, but, you know, they just don't seem to have that professional, competitive. It's tough in this league, I get it, but it's been a losing culture, and this is what happens when you say, we're going to bottom out. We're just going to strip it down and bottom out, and then you look around the league and you go, Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour, Ryan O'Reilly, Linus Allmark wins a Vezina somewhere else. Names, like, all these guys went somewhere else and had success. And you're just moving on because you're trying to lose and all. It just...
Was it Byram that Tavares undressed?
Yeah.
But you're an NHL defenseman. You cannot allow that to happen.
Try looking at his chest. Isn't that what defending? I don't know.
Who are the veterans on that team? Like what veteran?
Yeah,
like,
be.
That's Tuck, Zucker's old.
Yeah, Zucker's old.
Cousins is considered.
Is he?
I don't know. I mean, he's getting paid $7 million. I certainly hope he can be considered a leader.
That's what I was gonna say. 23 years old. Maybe that's where you look in the mirror a little bit. Get somebody in there. Get a few guys in there with experience, pedigree.
They have one guy in their 30s. And it's Zucker, and they got no one even at 29. So it's a bunch of young guys. Anyway.
Power play over the weekend.
Ah, you know, Marner makes a great play to Matthews for one. Mm. Did they have another one?
They had one last night, didn't they?
I believe so.
Matthews one-timer off Tavares' shin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
But, yeah, still should be sharper.
Yeah, no, they're still trying to get that that part dialed in. The I'd be curious to know, and I should look into this, the entry statistics, because, you know, Marner and Nylander are so good at it. Matthews hasn't had the same success.
Yeah, I don't want Austin carrying the puck in the neutral zone on it.
Mm-hmm. No, and they just, everyone, it's such a copycat league, and everyone went to this, like, the drop thing. No one has tried a new option in 10 years, or whatever it's been, 5 years, like... I remember being with the Marlies and, like, writing up some options on a pad of paper. So I was like, God, this is all we ever do. That was 2017. Like, I would love to see someone have a new idea on a break-in, but it doesn't happen in the NHL very often.
Yeah, I think Sammy's used this term before, too, to describe it. Sometimes they just lack urgency.
Mm-hmm.
That bothers me. And I think it's heightened when you see actually the five forwards out there together. It's actually worse when it's just the five, you know, main guys that the big guns out there. I find that's when things get really casual and you're just sitting there hoping that they don't turn it over at the blue line because you know they ain't skating back.
Yeah.
Like literally, you know, if it's a turnover there, it's either a 2-on-1 or a breakaway because they're not getting back. And that always keeps me on edge is the lack of urgency with the power play, especially when it's those guys on the ice.
For sure. Go ahead, Kip.
I was just going to maybe just ask Disco about the clip on Tavares talking about... Berube's system. You like that?
Yeah, I thought
before we get to Gord, let's hear something tomorrow.
Yeah, I thought this one was interesting, actually, in pulling things, because I talked about how it stood out to me in terms of how he's fit in, but he sort of addressed bigger picture why it's been a little bit of a challenge for these guys to find a way to get it going. So here's John Tavares. Clip two, please, Derek.
Yeah, we just got to keep going. I think we all want to continue to get better as a team and individually. Pucks maybe haven't been going in as much offensively, but I think we're still growing and finding our way with how we're playing and the identity of the group and things coaching staff is preaching what we're working on. So a lot of good signs today, something we want to build on.
Identity. I
mean, that's as upbeat and excited as I've heard him.
Yeah.
He sounds like a guy who just scored three. Guy loves this.
And you got to be on top of your game to play Berube style, I think, which first and foremost is legs and energy.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to give up the puck, you got to get it back, meaning dump ins. And if there's just that small window where they're just a little off, then it can kind of look like New Jersey.
Like, what do you mean? Like the fast New Jersey Devils?
Yeah. Well, like go dump it in, but it's coming back out real quick.
Yeah. Mm. I see what you're saying.
That's the look that we got when they went to New Jersey. And if
I thought you meant they look like the Devils.
No, against New Jersey. No, I'm just saying that Berube's system means if you're going to dump it in and chase it, you better have those legs going. Your angles better be perfect. The second guy better not get caught with one pass, right?
Yeah, my complaint with this team right now is I think they often don't leave the next line set up for success because bad dump, they'll go chase it at the end of a shift, and all of a sudden they're coming back the other way, waving guys on the ice. I think better dumps, better changes.
Better changes and like length of shifts too. You can't get caught out there a minute and a half, minute 40, five, 2 minutes, which happened, I think, in Detroit, where they're out there a long time sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on before we take a break and bring on Stelectricity?
No, sir.
All right. Take a quick break. As we said, Gord Stellick, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, an all-around good guy, next on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as promised, Stelectricity, our Christmas version of Stelectricity. Gord Stellick, former NHL general manager, Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, man, are you looking good these days? For those of you that cannot see Gord Stellick on the Zoom, he looks like he's in fighting shape. Is it true that you've got a fight scheduled versus Jeff O'Neill on Netflix coming up? Is that what's happening here between the two of you?
Well, I don't want to give it away yet, but yeah, the O Dog versus the Stell Dog. I think it'll be better than the
winner fights Jake Paul or what
put out there. So I'm going to try to lay off the poppy treats, and we could have a big announcement soon, Kipper.
Love hearing that. How are you? All these games crammed in, Gord. I was telling the guys that obviously the schedule got kind of closed up a little bit during this past stretch. I think it's to shut down the league for Four Nations for 3 weeks coming up in February. But what have you been seeing out of the Toronto Maple Leafs or in general the games the last few weeks?
You know what? Well, a number of things. And one is that intangible. Well, first of all, the intangible about finding ways to win. And I thought, you know, they had that horrible home game against Ottawa. We're getting killed by Washington, came back and won that game. And here they're looking to go back-to-back losses against two teams that they should beat. And they found a way to come back against the Buffalo Sabres. They got some depth scoring from Robertson and Domi. I know, of course, a hat trick from Tavares. So, I mean, that's the good part I've seen. And you're right, it's a pretty jammed 82-game regular season. What does it mean in the playoffs? I mean, that's always the question. What's lacked in the playoffs is what they're generally best at. And that is scoring goals. So it's hard to figure what the template will mean come playoff time, but I've liked that. Whatever the style was, it's Craig Berube's, you know, a little bit of a different style, a little more of an emphasis on defense. They seem to have a little bit more depth, and they're in first place.
Gord, did you have a moment like I did when Dennis Hildeby gave up a couple of softies to start the game? Well, the tackle was decent, but still, where you're like, uh-oh. Like, what is the Leafs' goaltending situation looked like to you going forward? Has the Stolarz injury shaken your confidence a bit?
Well, for people old enough out there, it gave me nightmares and memories of Yuri Serha. The whole bench just used to deflate, and you knew you're in a lot of trouble. So, it's something we haven't seen so far. And, you know, Justin, first of all, depth-wise, I don't know. This has brought as good a goaltending tandem they've had for the halfway point of a season. Saying you're worried about injuries is valid, given, you know, Joe Wall's situation. Look at Freddie Anderson now in Carolina. It started the end with the Leafs and went there. You look at Matt Murray's never really been able to get back still from any kind of injuries. And then Stolarz, he's had problems before, but he'd been the healthy guy. So, yeah, it kind of reminds you about what happens if your goalie goes down. It could happen. What you have to do is what Vancouver did without Thatcher Demko for a chunk of it, and that's why you hope you keep the 1-2 depth. But, yes, I did have a bit of a post-traumatic traumatic memory of the infamous Jiří Serha area.
Gord, it's hard to talk depth without mentioning that the Leafs are flirting with being in the bottom third of scoring. I don't think anybody saw that coming up towards the Christmas break. So we saw last night against a struggling Buffalo Sabre team, Max Domi scores. It looked like they got a lot out of McMahon and Nick Robertson last night. Is that something that you want to see kind of play out, let it breathe a little bit here, or do they really start looking for alternatives outside of their organization to look after some
sure
added scoring?
Add a spice or two by the trade deadline. But Kippy, you know, that's the valid worry about, and even when they had scoring in the regular season, they weren't getting in the playoffs and they weren't getting depth scoring. You're kind of saying, where is our Nick Paul? Who's going to get that big Nick Paul type goal like Tampa Bay did against Toronto? He did for Tampa Bay a few years ago. So I don't know if you want to call it a trade-off, whether that was planned, intentional, or what, to be a more complete team. But yes, it is what's let them down every playoff, not just depth scoring, but the big guys scoring. So goals are hard to come by. They're harder to come by in the playoffs. They seem to have, in the past, found a way to get them in the regular season, but not in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, everything's going well. You're winning. But, you know, does the tap get turned off a little too much? It doesn't come back. You know, you got to get Domi going. You got Max Pacioretty could be that guy. Bobby McMahon could be that guy. I don't know if Nick Robertson could be that guy. But somewhere you're going to have to get some depth. There's no question about it, particularly in the playoffs, because you got to rely on more players. And the Florida Panthers, you know, they've leapfrogged past the Maple Leafs. And you really saw last year what the depth in the playoffs meant for them.
Gord, the Leafs really like to play Jake McCabe and Chris Tanev together, which everyone should like. They have a ton of success when they're out there. But that leaves Morgan Rielly sort of once again struggling for a partner. He's a weird guy for partnering reasons. How do you like him with OEL? It doesn't seem like that's going to be a, hey, it's playoffs, game one sort of solution.
Well, first of all, you got to love both Tanev and OEL. I mean, really, and Stolarz. Sure. You really look at, as Nashville struggles with bigger name free agent signings, what Brad Treliving and Leafs were able to do in the offseason. And it's funny, I like, we always talk about how Luke Shen came in. That was one of those great trade deadline pickups that was kind of a quieter one, and for whatever reason, really worked with Morgan Rielly. There's always that debate about, you know, how much should the top D be able to do it himself with whatever partner versus trying to find the right kind of partner. So I think, Justin, that's something they could explore come the trade deadline. But it doesn't strike right now that first pair. And of course, you're going to the D play a lot of minutes. You can sort of cave in the numbers. They can play more minutes in the playoffs as it goes. But there's no question there's not the same fluidity or stability beyond that number one pair as far as being a cohesive unit. And whether they address it or not, I don't know, but I think they certainly will look to.
Sometimes I watch Morgan and I wonder if he's feeling internal pressure to produce. And I think he's on pace for roughly, Gord, 40 points. Do you think at times he finds himself pushing just from the fact that he's supposed to be producing at $7.5 million a year?
Well, you know, it's funny. We talked about with John Tavares for so often about that number, 11 million. And, you know, you look in baseball, I think Freddie McGriff's a great example. Like some guy, if you ever look at his batting average, one year it's like 50 points higher than every other kind of season. And it's sort of say, well, okay, that was a blip. And same with Morgan Rielly when he scored like 20 goals or whatever it was, you know. Well, we thought that would be more often the case. And it is important to get as much offense as you can from the defense as well. So it's an interesting one because he's your number one defenseman. I'm very big on him. I'm very bullish on him. Well, Chris Tanev's up there too, but I mean, he's been your number one defenseman, say, for about the past decade, but you don't get the wow factor with him, like the Victor Hedman factor about being the number one stud D. And maybe, Kippy, to your point, and you would know it, being a player, that all of a sudden you get that number and there's these kind of expectations, and maybe you're trying to do a little bit too much. I mean, I think one thing with OEL, that he's become more comfortable about. He's not the superstar the Vancouver Canucks thought they were getting or fans thought was supposed to be. Like, he's found a comfort zone now, taking a step back and playing that particular kind of role. So I think that's a constructive comment about Morgan Riley at times.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, he did make up towards $8 million OEL in his heyday in Arizona. Right. But he was also a guy that was supposed to produce 15, 20 goals a year.
Mm-hmm. Did.
And he did. Yeah. He had a good stretch there for a while.
He did.
Absolutely. And I just, like I said, I think that's a good example. So Morgan Riley can't go there. He can't go there this time in his career with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's what kind of OEL, the thoughts of OEL were by Vancouver Canuck fans when he first arrived.
Gord, Kip knows sometimes I feel like Matthews gets a bit of a rough ride on this show. I stick up for him a lot. I'm the Matthews defender around here. Something's not right. I don't know what your thoughts are on how he's looked lately, if he needs another trip to Germany, but it just doesn't seem like there's the same level of physicality or tenacity or energy. I don't know what it is, Gord. What do you see? Am I crazy here?
What's Kippy's problem with Austin Matthews? What's your problem, Kippy?
He doesn't look anywhere near the second best player in the world. That's my problem.
High expectations.
Do you think it's because something's going on physically? I mean, we never know, but I have to think with all he's done that he's not 100%. So yeah, right now he's not going to win the Hart Trophy or those kind of trophies right now. But you always want Austin Matthews in your lineup, to say the least. So I will be a defender of Austin Matthews as well. But whatever the best, and it was weird. There was that sideshow last year about him scoring 70 goals, which I don't think was healthy at the end of the year last year either, heading into the playoffs, trying to focus on that individual record. So that at least won't be a worry this year. And maybe everything means better team-wise, even though individual-wise for some players, it isn't quite the same.
Yeah, listen.
What are your thoughts, Kip? Because we didn't talk about Matthews in the first block.
Yeah, we didn't. To your point, it just doesn't seem like he's all in right now.
He's getting points, but it's not.
Maybe it's physical. Maybe it is. Yeah. They never came clean on his injury, and, maybe he's just not there. I think he lacks a little confidence right now around the net.
Yeah, it could be.
He's just not of that.
Wow.
He has lots of chances.
He has lots of chances, and sometimes they should be non-chances. Sometimes I watch his wraparounds, and I'm going, those aren't working. Maybe back to the point or keep the play alive. But, there's that fine line. And just to kind of touch a little bit on the Morgan Riley aspect, that maybe there's a level of expectance that he needs to be the guy that's putting the puck in the net all the time. And under this system, maybe he's not a 60-goal scorer under Craig Berube's system. Maybe that might have something to do with it.
Kippy, didn't you lead the NHL in non-chances one year? Do I remember correctly?
Every year. Every year.
So, wait a sec. Okay. Whatever. Let's leave the 70 goals alone in that, whatever, what have you. As I said, as you just articulated, Kippy, if it means a better team concept, I'm all for it. I'm just, Austin Matthews, it's kind of like Ovi last year, maybe like Ovechkin, last year, the start of the year, he had a bit of a dry spell, which was unusual. Not being 100% could be part of it. But, I think that's one of, you asked me, Kippy, starting off, one of the best things I saw was how that team, how Mitch Marner, which wasn't surprising, how everybody jumped up in the absence of Austin Matthews and how they played as a team. And maybe his absence and this time around, how people stepped up might be one of the best things that happened this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you good on that if I turn the page?
I am. Do you have a conclusion at all?
No, but I am concluding that he doesn't look as effective as he has in the past. My one thought is, Mitch Marner hasn't been as effective since Matthews has been back either. Or do we maybe want to go back to giving Marner his own line and see if Matthews can make it work somewhere else? I don't know. Is that a crazy thought?
No, it's not. And the power play hasn't looked as well.
I like that thought about, that there's a lot more options out there for Craig Berube to try. I think I like that thought very much.
Yeah. And getting McMahon back is a big one for me, Gord. He's just got this great combination of speed and size. He was physical, and all of a sudden he takes a third line from being just the third line to a line that can produce and chip in a little bit. Do you think that's what changed for Domi and Robertson, is just getting someone on the wing who can kind of make some space and get some pucks?
Well, yeah, you know, someone's got to get you the puck. You're right. And that could be it. Like, so again, but let's throw another one back, Justin, about just Max Pacioretty. Now, again, if he can stay healthy, is huge. But what's impressed me about him, it's a very different stage of his career. If you look back, he had a really consistent run with the Montreal Canadiens of 30 goal seasons and that. He's playing different now. He's playing more aggressive. He's showing more snot that Brad Treliving wants. He understands. Like, it's a different setup here. It's a different kind of role. And I really admire those kinds of players that late in their career can say, you know, we see Corey Perry having done it, that there's a different component I got to try and stress. Now, I know I have to say it's incomplete, a lot of it due to injuries because of him, but that's another option that really has intrigued me.
Yeah, for me now it's just moving forward the reliability of both these guys.
And they have a lot of guys that you like, but you're nervous about. The goalies, yes.
McMahon's,
Timmins,
McMahon,
Pacioretty.
End of the playoffs this year on a couple occasions. It's like, will you be there? I don't think anybody's nervous on whether or not you could contribute or look effective when you're in, but can we count on you being there at the end?
Well, you know, Justin, it's like when you're single and you're dating. There's a lot of girls you like, but you're nervous about, right? Same thing. ultimately, you hope the right one comes around like it has for the three of us, and we are blessed. And maybe that's how it plays out in a hockey sense.
It is funny, like, just seeing Nick Robertson shoot the puck in the net, have a good game, being on a part of an effective line. You can see what it was supposed to look like going into this year. Like, it was supposed to look like against Buffalo every third game, maybe. But I don't know. Is it too late for him to salvage his season?
Well, not too late. I was disappointed that he wasn't able to seize that opportunity playing a lot of games consistently, getting decent ice time. And, you know, that's all you always want. You always say, look, I want the chance. I want the chance. And I wouldn't say he squandered the chance, but he's not embraced the chance. So the line you're talking about is like, okay, you know, I go back. You know, Gary Volk got that big goal like 25 years ago. Okay, who can get that big goal in the playoffs that wins the series against the Philadelphia Flyers like he did, or Pittsburgh, whatever it was back then, and move on? Like, you know, which one of them can get that timely goal that has been part of the Leaf scoring drought in the playoffs in recent years? And it still is it still is kind of an evaluation process. I mean, a couple of years ago, Michael Bunting supplanted Nick Ritchie. Nick Ritchie couldn't do it. Michael Bunting, he said, okay, man, this guy's fitting in the top six, and he's going to be your guy. Right now, you still got a lot of feelers out there. I mean, I thought the analogy Brad Treliving used, that we only got so many seats on the plane and we got more passengers than actual seats, still applies.
Okay, before break, I bet these guys that you couldn't name four of Santa's reindeer. Not four, Gord. You want to take a crack at it?
Well, Rudolph, Dasher, Dixon,
no.
Vixen, Cotsy.
Yeah, you got that one.
Wait, come Prancer, come Prancer, come Vixen, Jimmy, come Ralphie. God. I don't know, man. I got to switch religions. I'm on the wrong one here. I got to start celebrating.
Ralph, Richie, Potsy, keep going.
What are you, they got again? It. You know what they are?
They're Canadian reindeer.
Boy, oh boy. I can only imagine the gifts that you're given.
I don't know. What are they now? I'm on the hot seat here. I don't know.
Dasher?
Donner.
Dasher, that's right.
Donner.
Dancer.
Dancer.
Wasn't Vixen, there a Prancer?
Prancer, that's right.
Yeah.
Vixen. Think Valentine's Day.
Cupid.
Yeah.
There's no Cupid.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What a bad handle.
Comet?
Buddy, what's he talking about?
It's aggressive to name a reindeer Vixen. I don't know. All right. Okay, we got to cut this off.
I don't know. This was your question, not mine.
Yeah. Okay. Hey. I don't know. I'm going to go to another Santa question for
Gordy and Dougie.
Great job as always, pal. Have a great Christmas, okay?
Will do. Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. And fun as always. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gordy. Appreciate it.
All right. Don't go away. Jason York coming up.
Yorkie,
he'll name all eight. He's a sharp guy.
You have to be sharp to know the
more with Yorkie as we go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Be right back.